Well, last week, if you were here, you have heard me saying, quoting from Romans 5, when we look at David's life and how it was really messed, we saw that the gift is not like the trespass. We see God dealing with David even when things were very bad, when there's killing in his family, there's killing within the kingdom. So he was involved in killing Uriah just to take his wife. And so this is really a gross sin. That was terrible. A sin to be committed by a man anointed by God, raised up to look after God's people. And yet David acknowledged his sin. He wept before the Lord and repented. And yet there were consequences of sins. Now, his flight, plight. Continues his troubles. And we've seen now last week how his son Absalom killed his brother Amnon because he had abused Absalom's sister. And Absalom really was very angry, and he was really angry. So what he did, he killed his brother, and that really brought trouble to the family. So what we want to see here today, I read deliberately the whole chapter because the whole chapter is just telling us a single history, and so there are lessons for us to learn along the road. So we see David, King David, being so weak, and now he is to be deceived. So let us see how the king is deceived. David, the king, continues to face the consequences of his sin. His son, other son, raped his sister, half-sister, and then his brother came also and killed this man. And now Absalom is a fugitive. So David, though not forsaken, you see, he is not completely forsaken by God. Nevertheless, he has to face up the realities. He has to face up with his weaknesses. He has been weakened himself, and it's a very humbling thing for a man who is walking with God. And so, there are lows and ups in walking with God, and that does not change God's character, but nevertheless, so we see what sins can bring into a household. We see how can devastate, can really leave marks and dark things. That is why sin is evil, and so to play with it is not the norm within God's provision. Is really we receive grace as we fall. But God's intention is for us to avoid all these things so that we cannot bear the consequences of sin. So there are consequences for sins. So you can spend, like if you have taken someone money or you are in debt and you are thrown in jail, you can spend 100 days and then maybe they pardon you later, but you have spent already 100 days. So 100 days is gone from your life. So David here is facing the reality. So we see this clearly in this story. And what happens? Here Absalom's running away. Absalom's heart wants to return home because he got ambitions, this guy. All that we read, because he wanted to go back so that he can inherit the kingdom. That was all the things that he was trying to do. And so now he's influencing Joab to really create a situation where he can come home. That is all that he was doing. So we see how David is going to be deceived from verse 1 to verse 3. So let me read it. Joab, son of Zeruiah, knew that the king's heart longed for Absalom. Of course, as a father, like the man in the New Testament, like who has lost his son, who went away. But David is longing for his son. But there is something here, there is a problem here. He is longing, but he is not willing to forgive this young man. We saw that in the last verse. In the last verse of the chapter. If we can just flip over and see that. When Absalom came home, the verse 33, he came in and bowed down with his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. There were no words, nothing. And Absalom went away, and he knew that he was not forgiven. So now he is going to be deceived. Joab sent someone to Tekoa and had a wise woman brought from there, a wise woman. What a wise woman. She's not wife. She's not wise. But she's going to play a role like an actress. You see, so she has given him herself to do something that she's supposed not to do. So we see how David is deceived through pretense of this woman, because verse 2, last part of verse 2 say, pretend you are in a mourning. And so this woman will pretend that she is in mourning and dress also in mourning clothes. And she was going to use no cosmetics and not to look as an unhappy person. Then go to the king and speak these words to him, and Joab put the words in her mouth. So yeah, the history went. So the woman from verse 4 to 6, she is executing the plot, the programs, the words. She came and then from Tekoa, she went to the king. She fell with her face to the ground to pay him honor. And she said, help me, O king. She had no problems. But now she's crying for help. And this deception was not good at all. And I think that is why we can't see God's heart here in this chapter. We can't see any single word. So there's a lot of mentions of Lord and kings and things like that. But God is not interested in the whole story here, because it's all based on deceptions. And also this man is deceived. That is why even in our days today, anything that involves deceptions and words that are not true is just something God will not look to. And so we will all be abandoned. The deceiving and the deceived all together. God will stand aloof from these situations. Of course, he will never be absent. See, he will never be absent. And we will see as the history unfolds. But anything involved deception, God will not be interested in that. And when there is sin, always, so it is easy to be deceived. One of the things that I've noticed in my Christian walk, a lot of people who can come and act, say, and tell you things, saying that they love you and they want to give you a good counsel. Always. But not all of them are really giving you a good counsel. And we are to be discerning of the things we hear from even people who are very close to us. We are real to have God's heart and to have discernment. It's a serious thing altogether. We can be led astray just simply because we are just being moved by actions, even by emotions that are falsely aroused, just to appear that what you are presenting is truth. You know, in Middle East, I don't think it is the case in the Western world. Because maybe the Western world is running faster ahead of everybody. You see, so if it's something good, they go through quick. You see, if something bad, they just lead the whole thing into bad things. Like what is happening now, trying to influence the whole African continent to legislate for gay things because they are doing it here. So yeah, we are to be. I don't think like what I was going to say is. people mourn in the Middle East. Their women can come wailing if someone passed away. Even some are paid to do that. They come and they cry. They're dressed in dark. And so they just mourn. And after that, sometimes even under their covering, they can laugh as well. It's just so sad altogether. So this is what we are seeing here. Something that should not be practiced in people who are the people whose God of Israel is their God. You see, something. So as I was just reading through the text, it just really discouraged me so much to see how this man, the man who just killed, brought down Goliath, is just going through these things. It's very humiliating. Seems humiliate so much. And now this lady, she's going like that just because they just want to make a point. They just want Absalom back. Absalom is not repenting. And you see, it's not repenting. And the father is not forgiving. And Joab is just like caught up in the middle. He's a servant of the king and his son. You see, even his field, you see, was set ablaze. And even he would not demand any compensation. He's just being used to the maximum. But also because he's a military man, he's just like serving both parties. And I think later on, if I could remember, I think he will be going with Absalom, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, I will have to check it. Because in chapter 15, this man is going to rebel, Absalom. Yeah, so this lady, she said this word. So she fell to the ground with her face to pay him honor. What honor? He's deceiving him. It's not true. It's deception. And said, help me, has no problems. And yet she's playing. They want to put out the only burning coal. So she just made this story that I'm indeed a widow. My husband is dead. I, your servant, had two sons. They got into a fight with each other in the field, and no one was there to separate them. One struck the other and killed him. Now the whole clan has risen up against your servant, they say. Hand over the one who struck his brother down so that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed. Then we will get rid of the hair as well. They would put out the only burning coal. So that was the desire of Absalom, to be the heir. So he doesn't want to die because he wants to climb the throne. And now he's referring to himself because they plan it together with Joab. He's referred to himself as the only burning coal. You see, the only burning coal. So that is his heart, is his desires. So this woman is saying this. The king said to the woman, go home and I will issue an order in your behalf. So the king's lost discernment. And then later on, he will just realize that this is a bigger issue. But he was unable. And now actually he judged wrongly. And so he ordered that things should be settled. So, and then later on, he will be told that the history. Absalom is the burning coal. So even in verse 10, king saying like, bring over who is bothering you. So in verse 11, revealing David would not even dare to ask the Lord. See, he was not praying. And we see the king replied, if anyone says anything to you, bring him to me and he will not bother you again. So he is not discerning. He is not even praying. He is not seeking the Lord. So we saw in the past he used to seek the Lord when he was running for his life. So when his life was in danger, and I think maybe sometimes we walk rightly with God if we see that if we play with sin, and then really our life will be in danger, which is right that we should do that. But it shouldn't be just only to avoid calamities. It should be out of God's love and obedience to him. So King David is not discerning, is not praying, and then because if he sought the Lord, the Lord would have told him, Absalom must die. Absalom was going to die. But King David, he was not in tune with God. So Absalom is going to die. So Joab and the woman succeeded in deceiving the king. But now from verse 12 onward, the woman uses a very strong word to the king. She now uses a very sophisticated theological language. You see, just like, it's just so deceiving. So let us be aware of those fine words that are biblical, biblically right, but for the wrong reason. That is very serious. Verse 12, this is what this woman says. She said, then the woman said, let your servant speak a word to my lord the king. Let your servant speak a word to my lord the king. So she's just humbling herself, and then she was told to speak. The woman said, why then have you devised a thing like this against the people of God? You see, what is the thing that when the king says this, does he not convict himself? For the king has not brought back his banished son. You see? Like water is spilled on the ground, which cannot be recovered, so we must die. But God does not take away life. Instead, he devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from him. So the doctrine of resurrection is brought here. Sounds good. So this woman believes in resurrection of the dead, even in the Old Testament, that God is a God of the living, the God of Israel is the God of living, is not the God of dead. And David says, those who died shall not worship you. So she uses a very theological, really language. So let us be aware of that. The doctrine of resurrection is stated. So the king realized that there is something fishy here, isn't it? Isn't the hand of Joab? It was you in all this. So he is coming to realization that there is something bad here. There's something that is not right. So he was told, but it was too late. It was too late. He made his judgments, but and then also he had to make real concessions. So the king, he said, okay, Absalom is to come back, but not fully restored into their relationship. We see this is so clear. Absalom is going to come, but he wouldn't want to see his face. So this is not forgiveness. So this is not forgiveness. And so that is why King David is endangering himself, and also he is putting the life of this young man in danger. So he has lost so already. He has lost many things, but he is not acting in the grace of God. We see how things are not in the right place. And so things that we are to pray, really to be able to discern. So bring back the young man, Absalom, verse 21. So the servant's request was granted. Absalom is back, but he is not going to see the face of the king. I observed that in all the references to David, there was no single word of a father. It's all king, about the king. Which implies that actually Absalom, all that he wants to be restored into the kingdom. And not to his father. And the father also is not acting like a father. He is acting as a wounded king who is holding to his position as a king, but he has lost a lot of ground for moral authority and even in spiritual authority. That is David. David is not in the right position, right place. He is low, very much. And may we thank God that even if when we are low, we are not to stay there so much, because God has provided for us. When we lose concentration and we lose track of what we should be in our hearts and in our minds, to be aware of the deception around us and to be discerning words spoken to us, this requires really a right standing before God and just the washing of the blood of Jesus. And desiring not to hold to a position, it's not of my reputation, but my relationship with my loving Father. and the Lord Jesus Christ. Something David failed to recognize. But the New Testament father, you see, the New Testament father in the prodigal son story really reveals to us what it should be, the relationship of the heavenly father and his children, and also a God-fearing father and his earthly children. And I think this earthly man was reflecting the hearts of God in heavens. And the history is told us because we need to know that. God is a loving father. If we repent, so really, he forgives. And all his desires, it's not just we work for him, is that we have the right relationship with him as children and his children. To know that all that is are ours for our blessings and for his glory. Something here David in his household failed to represent, failed to reveal to us as God's people, that our prime position is not just like a kingdom. You know, the disciples, when they went out and they went with authority, and the demons were just like really submitting to them. They came rejoicing that the demons even submitted to us. And Jesus said, you shouldn't be rejoicing because of that. You should only be rejoiced that your names are written in the book of life and that you are saved. You are the children of the Most High God. And that is our position. We are not called to be great people, in even though the Bible says we are kings and priests. But king in what ways? King that we are not to be ruled by Satan. So we are ruling with Christ because Christ is king and he has called us to share in his kingship. So we are priests in the sense that we have access into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus and his body that he has opened up. So here we see this, the King David. You see, it's King David, is not the father. And Absalom would not call even him a father, my father. If he had appealed to him, something, this man, young boy, he said, my father, even I don't deserve to call you a father or to be a son. You see, just consider me to be just like one of your servants. And God said, and the Lord is saying, your position is higher than that. Well, why even Absalom's background is just given to us here. The Bible is amazing, isn't it? So out of blue, in verse 27, we are told that Absalom has five children, three sons and two daughters, verse 7. And even Tamar, became a beautiful woman. So what is that? His family background is given here, this man. And yet the Lord departs, didn't tell us why that was said. But maybe it's telling us that Absalom was not without provision. Absalom himself, he got sons and children. And now his relationship with his father is just like that. So just imagine that if his relationship with his sons is going to be like that, and it's a disaster. And maybe his daughter also, Tamar, is going to be like the other sister, the half-sister of Absalom himself, you see, who was also very beautiful and to be desired by his half-brother Abnon. It's just incredible. The Bible is a book that records to us, you see, the human fallenness, and the possibilities are there for people to go down if they are not careful to live before God. And so his family is just brought there. And Absalom himself, a man I mentioned this morning, that he is obsessed with himself and why his heart is not right with God, is not right with his father. This man, he grew up in a godly family, and yet now there is nothing, no grace, nothing of God. And now this man is described to be very handsome, that is why, yeah. It's just God is not delighted in the outward appearance, but he looks into the heart. And Absalom's heart is bad. Absalom now is just only desperate to see the king, even not his father, so that he can climb to the throne. Well, I want to leave one verse. This Proverbs 17, verse 11, is very important for us to see. So the wage of sin is death. And the Proverbs says to us here, maybe 11:17. Yeah, it's all about how God treats rebellion. How God treats rebellion. So the Bible says, he who rebels will be sent a cruel messenger. It's just incredible. So he who rebels is sent a cruel messenger, a messenger of death. I lost the reference. 11:17, isn't it? Wow. A king's man benefit himself? No. But a cruel man brings trouble on himself. This is one thing. But the messenger runs all the way from Old Testament to the New Testament. It's a verse that where we see the continuity between the two testaments really brought out clearly. And Absalom is going to face these things. And anyone would want to continue doing this who call themselves Christians, that is what they will face. For God had designed this in his wisdom. In all my Christian walk, I have seen this. And it's very disastrous. We see this in a lot of young people losing their lives. Just like that. You see, stories, when I hear these stories, how this boy has gone out from the house, just like a friend coming around 11 at night, coming and to see a friend, and then encourage him, oh, let's go out. And the mother would say, where are you going 11 at night? Oh, we are just going out here. Not to return, but to die. And this young man was buried last month. Just like that. How many stories like this? People rebelling from authority. This is God's heart. And Absalom is going to face this because his heart was not right with God. And it is amazing that we see that the word of God says he refers to his father as king. Something shouldn't be like that. Like, we cannot refer to our God, our Heavenly Father, as anything else. You see, he's our Heavenly Father. And if we don't have these familial ties, that we know that we have the love of our Father and all his resources that are there for us. But he has provided. When we sin, we repent. For the blood of Jesus covers multitude of our sins. I leave it there. Absalom the handsome man, Absalom the king's son.